Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to this service, and especially to those listening to a recording. We hope you feel a part of this worship. All your notices are on the weekly news. The reader today is Pam Weston. I will light the candle while we reflect.
Good morning and welcome all of you on this lovely autumn morning where we can gather for worship, where we can feel part of this group but also clearly part of the family of God's children everywhere. Before anything else, so that I don't forget later, on Friday morning, I got a call to let me know that John Langston died, probably Thursday night, Friday morning. Lots of you will remember him. Sandra was one of my predecessors in Highworth Church as well. Sorry? Roy. Lloyd Langston. What did I say? Oh, yes, Lloyd Langston, yes. We got the card right, that I do know. So we are sending a card from Emmanuel to Sandra. And to those of you who remember the family, please hold them in your prayers. Psalm 39 has a very, very haunting question, which is going to lead us this morning one way or another. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? May the love of God guide us. May the love of God sustain us. May the love of God fill us with the assurance of his presence. Amen. We follow the words of the hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd," as sung by the Wells Cathedral Choir.
Thank you.
as you read in the newsletter for this week, with last Sunday we closed, let's say, the first half of the appeal from World Concerns, and that was the one dedicated to the Beirut situation. And we are grateful to all that together with the money that already was, that finished, let's put it that way, the emergency appeal, we were able to send over £1,500 to the United Reformed Church. They will be collecting everything and sending it on to the National Ecumenical Council of Churches of Middle East, which is their connection in Lebanon. So it will be a great help to the people in Beirut to build up life and hope. And our offering that has been left in the plate and what we give in different ways, we will now dedicate to God. In your love, in your generosity, in your kindness, you provide for us. And when challenged, you invite us to be able to take from that and provide for others. Guide, O Lord, our giving, that it may be multiplied so that generously your love may be known and shared in this world. Amen. Through the pains and the struggles and the worries, sometimes people find nowhere to turn. Overwhelmed and sad and concerned and afraid. And all they want is a little bit of light. So the first candle we light in our service is symbolic of that little bit of light which shines where people feel they are in darkness. And with the music that follows, think of your own life or those of the people you know who feel that darkness and welcome the light. I know some of you here at Emmanuel are followers in the daily readings of Fresh from the Word. And this week, I've been particularly challenged and moved for two reasons, because they did speak to me. But the person that was writing them, I know very, very, very well. Daphne Plou lived just basically around the corner from where my mother lived, and I'd known her for years. And it was Daphne who more or less led me into accepting the challenge of my second degree in communication. A fantastic woman, a fantastic family, and it was great to read what she was leading through. And part of the prayer that follows, our prayer for this morning of thanksgiving and confession, is yesterday's reading, kind of grafted with other things of my own production or the Spirit's production. Let us pray. God of caring, God of love, God of challenge, you are often the silent partner on the road that we are walking. And yet sometimes you become the rumble that makes us look around and wonder what's going on. The God who invites us to ask questions and seek for answers, but in your kindness and in your patience will wait until we come up with those answers or help us when we get stuck. We thank you for what you have done, and we pray that in that journey we may discover what we can do and discover what we should not do. In a world where everything seems to be emphasizing the well-being of the individual, the stress that being fine with ourselves and creation around us is the right thing to achieve. For those who believe that the right preaching is that that points to individual peace and comfort, without challenges, without commitments, just sitting in our place or in front of the TV, listening to a religious service is all that is needed. Yet we have discovered from you and through you that faith is much more than that. We thank you that you have taught us that it is getting involved, but also has a lot to do that makes sense. Who is willing to be sent? Who is ready to put his or her feet at the service of the gospel? There are things that we should not do. We should love and care, but not hate or discriminate. We should be opening and in solidarity, not in rejection and hatred. Lord, forgive us when we do the wrong things. Forgive us when our words are one thing and our actions are another. So may our feet, our wheelchairs, our crutches, our instability, our fear of taking that next step, whatever it is that gets us from one place to another, lead us on that way, because there is much to announce, much to share, much love to be demonstrated beyond fashion, beyond trends. There is need for justice and non-discrimination, and Jesus shows us the way. Let us get up. Let us leave the comfortable seats. Let us get on with it. And forgive us when we find too many excuses not to do what you want us to do. Lift us up. Be our light. Shine on our way. And may our feet go happily faster, or at least as fast as they will take us, to share with others your eternal love. Amen. We will now hear the reading. And Pam comes with her gloves on today, so she doesn't have to sanitize her hands.
The reading is from Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son,
"Go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord.
To those of you who are able, if you'd like to stand for a few moments and think just this: are we the yes but no, or the no but yes of this reading? And then we will share the words of the grace together. Let us share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. The opening words of the service today: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Think of that as light shining the reading from Matthew we've just heard. Funnily enough, in the last few days, I've been thinking a lot of Granny Jordan, my father's mother. Can't clue of how old she'd be now. She was always old to me. But one of the things she did when she lived with us, and she lived with us off and on, she taught Anne and me how to play snap. And it was always exciting, the idea of having to pay attention to what was going on, what card was coming, what we had, our hands ready, trembling to snap before somebody else snapped, and then the movement of the opponent leading us into snap when there wasn't a snap, and all that sort of adrenaline. We were small kids, and it was probably the highest rush of adrenaline we'd had in our life so far. And it was fun, just getting ready to shout it, just the feeling or the words. It was great fun. And I thought that snap was what was going on in the reading here today. Since last Sunday, when we met for worship, Jesus has entered Jerusalem, if you follow Matthew's stories. But that reading, of course, we read during Lent time. So it's not a reading for this time of the year. But we do need reminding when we face today's reading are a few little details. Every time Matthew talks of the vineyard, and he does quite often, he's referring to the people of God. In Matthew, the vineyard is the people of God. So go to the vineyard and work, in the parable, is symbolic. It's inspired by the reading of Isaiah chapter 5. If you would like to go and read it, it's a beautiful reading of "My vineyard," says God to Isaiah. And it's really a touching reading. Jesus has been in the temple, and the reading today begins just after Jesus has left the temple, having clashed with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They have questioned their authority. By what authority do you do this? And Jesus says, I'll tell you if you tell me. And of course, they don't answer his question, so he says, okay, I'm not going to tell you. And there ends the reading just before the one we began today. The question that follows, what do you think, is not addressed to the disciples, it's addressed to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Those were the know-hows. They knew everything. They determined life for everybody. They had a direct impact, even if you lived in the smallest little village, miles away from where they were. What they did, what they thought, had an impact on your life. What do you think? And then he tells the parable. Father, two sons, go and work in the vineyard. The man in this parable, if the vineyard is the people of God, the man is God. The two sons represent the social structure accepted in the time of Matthew writing this parable. On one hand, the sinners, clearly, those who ignore, disobey, have nothing to do with the law, and on the other, the keepers of the law, the respectable ones. And it's quite an interesting setup, particularly the stereotypes that are used in the parable. So the parable is coming quite easily. It's not a difficult parable to understand. It's clear-cut. The story progresses. And we discover that the emphasis in the parable that Jesus is putting before them is not who they are, but what they do or what they don't do. Being a Sadducee is not enough. Being a doctor of the law is not enough. It's what they do with it. I remember in the first few years of being a minister, people telling me, oh, you're a minister, as if that added everything. They had all the answers. Little did I know that that certainly created more questions than answers along the next 40 years of my life. And it's not enough to be a minister. It's not enough to be a rev, to have your name on the front of the notice board of the church. It's not enough. We were here on Wednesday, weren't we? And we had a meeting about worship with Jeff, and we left just as parents had been parking their cars in the car park to go and pick their kids up. It had rained, and we left the meeting, and somebody, I admit it, my parking hadn't been the best. One of the wheels was, let's say, a little bit over the line, and there was a note stuck on my window, on my windscreen, that said, thank you for parking, for such inconsiderate parking. Some of us come here to work and park. And my first reaction, I had burst out laughing, and then hang on, I've been working here as well. I'm the minister of the church. I didn't use the minister's bay because it was about to rain, and it was the furthest from the door we were going to leave. And when I came, I had the 66 parking bays at my disposal if I wanted to. By the time I left, there wasn't. And then I sat down and I read this reading, and I said, there am I, pretending that because I'm the minister, I can park however I want. And this person was saying to me, you're an idiot. And it was. If I'd seen that parking in a supermarket, it really, 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 really bothered me. But it was in my car park. I can do what I want in my car park. Do you see how easy it is for this to creep in to our lives? That was a Pharisee or Sadducee attitude. Jesus questions them and says, who did the will of the Father? And they all agree, the first one, the one that said no, but went. That was quite interesting, a change of heart. To me, that was the snap moment of the parable. When they're all playing, who's a snap? Because they realized that by answering that, they were in deep trouble. Jesus then points out to the leaders that they belong to the second group. Those who say yes and don't do it. End of the story. But before the end of the story, Jesus simply says to them, just to make matters clearer, talking to Pharisees and Sadducees, talking to the minister, tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before you do. Now, Jesus, I'm sorry, but that's pushing it too far. I mean, if you're going to choose categories, may they not be prostitutes and tax collectors. They are the despised, the rejected. And yet, Matthew, the writer of this story, according to the gospel, had been a tax collector. And each time Jesus sat or let the prostitute get near him, he was criticized. And he says, because they heard John, understood John, and changed because of John. They're the ones that said no, but their heart was changed and went to the vineyard and met with God's people. Those are the ones that will have priority. And if that's so, what is the kingdom about? Because the Sadducees and Pharisees no longer have any parameters by which they say our lifestyle is what? And John the Baptist is the changing, is the linchpin here. They ignored him. But some, the undesirables, and I'm not saying you're undesirables, I'm just saying how it worked in Jesus' parable. I'm not suggesting that we become tax collectors or prostitutes to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not. It's an attitude. An attitude by saying, I don't have inherent rights simply because I am who I am. It's how I live. It's the prayer that Daphne, or the reflection she wrote, whether it be our wheelchair, our Zimmer, the trembling steps, or the fullness of my strength, how do I use my feet to communicate hope? How do I use my life to let other people know that there is hope? And that is what makes the difference. Some changed their ways and some didn't. In this parable, Jesus changes the whole understanding of the kingdom. And he's inviting us to consider, is this something you're interested in? Is this something that you can do? It opens the kingdom in a different way. And this is why the parable is today so important. In a world which says, as long as you're fine, everybody else is fine. No. In a parable today that says, we need to be able to enter in contact and communication. We need to shine light for others. How are we going to live the decision which God is offering us? What does walking the way have to say to us? To the surprise of many, both in Jesus' time and ours, the kingdom is open at all hours. It will not close at 10 o'clock at night. We will not be told that we can't come in if we want to go in. It doesn't open late. And it's only telling us, come on, you don't need 60 rolls of toilet paper. 10 will do. Because you know the person that's coming behind you needs some as well. Who ever thought that toilet paper could be a sign of the values of the kingdom? Think of it. You'll probably think of toilet paper more than anything else I've said this morning. But that's what Jesus is saying. Those who feel that because they are who they are, have the entrance assured, and that excludes others, Jesus is saying, let's think again. And let's think again. Amen. The second candle today is the one to the future, and the future is opened in a very short piece of music from a context that we don't often hear music from. This is the Missa Luba. It's the Sanctus of the Missa Luba from the Congo.
Thank you.
completely different to what we usually hear. And I chose that today for this reading because centuries back, there were certain people who felt that the savages need to be civilized. And I feel that sometimes that is the Sadducees saying, our way is the only way. And if your foot was moving a little bit just now, if you've ever been to something like this, you cannot go to an African service without feeling you would get up and dance down the aisle, I can assure you. Okay, the reality is that their services last 4 hours, and you can get back to your pew afterwards, but it is moving and it is different, and different sometimes is teaching to any teacher in the room, in the hall, in the church, to know that you can only teach if you're offering something different, if you're offering a new opportunity of something that people didn't see and didn't know. And I feel that in our faith, a lot of that is what Jesus is talking about. Our prayer of intercession, and we will end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we are in a world surrounded by so many realities, so many people, so much life, and all of it is struggling. The prophet of these days seems to be Mr. Attenborough. We are moved by what he says, what he shows us, and he keeps on telling us that the species are disappearing, that the ice caps are melting. The more people are willing to listen to him, which is wonderful, than to others. And he doesn't want to be the only one that says it. Your creation, O Lord, that which you called good, is struggling. And even, O Lord, if we would initially say, there is nothing I can do, help us to be moved and walk towards that vineyard which is your people, your kingdom. For all those people that are reminding us and teaching us and showing us that there are things we can do, whether we are able to walk and run and jump or whether, well, that's something of the past. But we can share and love and care. We are all surrounded by people with whom we can communicate. We think of those that are struggling, of those that are going through difficult times, the ones we know, the ones we don't know, the ones nearby and those far away, for those that have lost loved ones and are struggling to see how they will continue life. Be with them. We pray, O Lord, for those in positions of authority and responsibility, in politics, in economics, in education, in health, in the armed forces, everywhere. Give them wisdom and humility. We pray, O Lord, for those who feel that they have no space, no place, nothing, and yet they do. They do say, they do share, they receive others, they do the little they can to contribute to the community. We pray for the emergency services, for the first responders, for carers, for those that lighten the days of those who have no light, and those that don't give up. We pray, Lord, that the light of your hope may shine in the lives of us and all your people, even if we do get our tantrums and we become unbearable at some times. Help us, dear God, to suddenly realize that we can turn round and go to where you are sending us. In your love and in your care, hear the silence of your people at prayer. And as your children, each of us an individual, but coming together when we say, Our Father, let us pray and say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The final hymn with which we begin to close our service, O God, you search me and know me. All my thoughts lie open to your gaze. Stand for the blessing. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? O Lord, you show us everywhere you are present. Walk with us now. Lead us, guide us, sustain us. And may your blessing as Father, Son, Spirit of truth and love be with us here and with your people everywhere, this day and forevermore. Amen.